Blog Talk Radio.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Here on the one and only Renegade Broadcasting, it is I, Siegfried, once again, the host of this show, Ragnarok Now, on this, the 8th of November, 2013. Thank you all for joining me once again. Thank you all for joining me as well in the chat room at renegadebroadcasting.com. Please, please, please offer your commentary there, as well as with the open phone lines on today's show. That number to call in is 347-633-9657. Today's show is a part of an ongoing series I have here on the broadcast on Renegade Broadcasting that is titled Odal Runebearer's Rise, and this is the third part of that series, which I titled The Two Towers, in parentheses, from which the vermin cowers. I'll be getting into what those two towers are, why I use that title, in a little bit. But first, as usual, I will go over today's date and what happened in history and some famous births and deaths on this today's date, November the 8th. I'll be getting into that and be going into a musical break supplied by the one and only Johann Fuchs. And then we'll be getting into the bulk of today's show. Now, November 8th, the events of that date are as follows. 1519, Hernan Cortez enters Tenochtitlan, and Aztec ruler Moctezuma welcomes him with a great celebration, as would befit a returning god. Yes, the Spanish march in and are seen as gods. Wow, very typical. Very typical of native response of strong white men going into their countries. Yep. In 1889, Montana is admitted as the 41st U.S. state. In 1923, in Munich, Adolf Hitler leads his party in an attempt to overthrow the German government. And we all know what happened after that. The Roaring Twenties were a tumultuous time for Western civilization, certainly post-war. I won't get into that today, but yes, that's a big event, the Munich Putsch, the Beer Hall Putsch, the attempted coup towards the Bavarian government. In 1932, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, is elected the 32nd president of the United States, defeating Herbert Hoover. Very big event in our history after 32. Of course, Huey Long is killed, and Lindbergh is shut out of the competition for the presidency, and the rest is history. We had to go over there again. And, you know, murder white people, you know, put them in camps, starve them out, ordered by the Jew Eisenhower, you know, just typical great American stuff. And we'll be going over some more great things Americans have to be proud of. I say that in jest, but it's a really dark joke, really. The things I joke about on the show are very serious indeed. So I don't mean to make a complete joke of these historical events. They are very important and have had so much influence on our lives today. Now I'm moving on. The events here on November 8th, 1997, the classic film, The Eternal Jew, Der Ewige Jude, has its grand opening in Munich, Germany. Again, Munich, München. Dr. Julius Streicher and Minister Goebbels were in attendance. Must have been a fun night. 37, what a year. 1942, Operation Torch. United States and United Kingdom forces land in French North Africa. He has to save those poor Bedouin people from the genocidal Germans that just wanted to kill them all and fill Africa with German people and Italian people. Yeah, okay. In 1960, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, JFK, is elected the 35th president of the United States, defeating Richard M. Nixon. Not a crook. 2004, fast forward to when yours truly was 14 years old. More than 10,000 U.S. troops and a small number of Iraqi army units participate in a siege on the insurgent stronghold of Fallujah. And for the famous births on this date, November 8th, 30 A.D., Marcus Concennius Nerva, Roman emperor born, 1431, Vlad III, the Impaler, Wallachian prince, the man known as Dracula today, and even more interesting, the same day, 1847, Bram Stoker, Irish novelist, is born, who was the man, of course, who penned the famous Dracula novel. I enjoyed that book very much. I implore people to check that out if they want something spooky to read. I don't know what the WN stance is exactly on that book, but nevertheless. 1900, November 8th, Margaret Mitchell is born, another author. And the deaths, 1674, John Milton, English poet. John Henry Doc Holliday, 1887, died. And in 1978, Norman Rockwell, an American illustrator, died as well. And he's very important to the aforementioned events, like Operation Torch. His illustrations serve the cultural mainstay of that day, which was more and more an anti-Nazi stance, an anti-fascist stance. Oh, never, you know, Norman Rockwell never do Julius Streicher style cartoons depicting the real enemies of humanity. No. Norman Rockwell would go on to create all these anti-Nazi pictures for the war effort and all these he's now a place of a Prince of Americana illustration. And, you know, it's ridiculous. I don't even want to get into it. So I will take that musical break now unless I have any callers. No callers yet. Again, the call-in number, the phone lines will be open all day, especially for old world inhabitants. That's why I'm doing this broadcast in an earlier time here. That number to call in is 347-633-9657. And be sure to contact me directly if you'd like to be connected through Skype, or just go on the Blog Talk page and connect through Skype on there to lend your comments and questions. Now we will go to the Fuchs Capriccio at Fugo. Musical break here. Be back in about six. This is Ragnarok Now on the one and only Renegade Broadcasting. And we're back here, Ragnarok Now, the Two Towers. What do I mean by that? What do I seek to accomplish using the title, the second feature of the Lord of the Rings trilogy by J.R.R. Tolkien? What do I seek to do? Well, on the last part of Odal Runebear's Rise, I titled it, There an Attack Again. The Hobbit's true title. What do I seek to do? Well, I seek to not only get your attention, but to illustrate that the Tolkien, the Lord of the Rings mythos is one of those mythos that are really supplied to us, at least at this point in history, to the white man woman as sort of a mythos to capture the imagination and real-life whims of the white people of this country, of the world, rather. And what do I refer to as the Two Towers? By that, I refer to Russia, that is, the Russian people, and the white American people, the American people. The American people, part of the race. And as far as Lord of the Rings being this de facto fantasy story world for our people, I seek to forever destroy that with my own writings, with my very own fantasy world that I have, in fact, created for such a time as this. I won't be discussing the names or anything because we have website domains to take yet, me and Kyle. So once that's complete, I will discuss it in full and detail if people are interested, if people show any interest in such. But just know, dear audience, dear lovely audience, that I have that in the works right now. What do I have in the works right now? That I have an ultra-nationalist fantasy world, complete with stories and mythos of its own, something to look forward to, something to find actual drama and maybe even create pro-white movies and pro-white everything, pieces of media centering in this world. This is an ultra-nationalist, mythological type of world, which I know you will all enjoy. So, people have any questions about that, I'll be happy to answer them without spoiling the story at all. But moving on from that, just a little taste of what I have planned for you all. Now, again, the Two Towers. What do I mean by that? Again, the scattered peoples of America, the scattered patriots of America, and the organized and sometimes disorganized people of patriots of Russia that wish to get their countries back, make their countries Russian, make their countries white. So, let's see, I have something prepared for today's show entitled just that, The Two Towers. Before and above the rest of the Occidental powers stands the seemingly feeble Two Towers, the holy bulwarks from which the vermin cowers. Even after the bloody revolution, even after the Second Republic and subsequent banker usurpation, the scattered rebels of America and the righteous natives of Russia hold the key to provide Western defense against the sea of assorted miscellaneous and rapid instantaneous causing creatures. Although our respected corporations, federations staffed and managed by inconsiderate scum, these places shall be the source of the sum, the epicenters of resistance, the wellspring of warriors, our blood bound within a global diminutive demographic, our ambition bound to nothing but our imagination and initiative. With the aid of our kinsmen from Hibernia to Hispania, from Manchester to Malta, from Hellas to Jutland, our re-rise to dominance will be nothing short of grand, so long as these two towers, in unison and in indomitable strength, stand. Well, that was today's poetry session, and, you know, that was in an effort to silence, to combat the meme of the one of the most disgusting, one of the most destructive, one of the most pathetic groups in the resistance, in the at least relegated to the internet resistance, that is the kosher anti-Zionist stance, the deracinated resistance. The Muslims are okay, and the Muslims are our buddies party. Okay, these people that avoid or attack people like us, her daring to question Islam or its adherents, ill-behaved, animal-like adherents in Britain, in Russia, in Germany, in France, in Italy, the way they behave in those countries and all the other European countries, everywhere else they go, pretty much. America, the Muslim problem is nothing compared to what it's like in the aforementioned Manchester, London, Paris. We don't know. We have no idea what it's like for these people. So that is precisely why here at Renegade Broadcasting we dare say anything about these disgusting creatures that walk the streets at night and day, start praying on their knees towards Mecca, and then they get up and then they see a white woman and she's not covered up enough. And they'll yell at her and attack her in some cases for not being abiding by Muhammad's dictum. I mean, how much of an insult is that to our ancestors? I mean, how much? I wonder how our ancestors would tolerate Muslim invasion, immigrants. Illegal immigrants going into their country, especially Muslim immigrants, especially Jewish creatures that wish to tell us that, you know, our white civilization is evil. I wonder how the ancestors, all the thousands and millions of ancestors how in Europe, how they would deal with a problem like that. Yes, they wouldn't tolerate it for one moment, not one. I mean, seriously, think about that. Even the Angevins, the foreign rulers of Angoland, the foreign rulers, the French nobles who reigned over England after 1066, in the 13th century, we had King Edward the First Angevin kick out Jews. And they didn't really return until the tumultuous era of the Civil War in England. And all those centuries in between the 13th and 17th centuries, we had Jews, an influx of Jews all over Europe, Italy, Poland, Spain. Poland, because Well, the German dukes and counts just didn't tolerate them, didn't like what they were doing in their places, so they kicked them out to the east. Where over time, they grew in numbers and became court Jews and ensconced in the banking establishments of the time and are at the point they are now. Would give rise to the creatures that would sail on over to America and draw that little keikel on that little piece of paper and foster families here in America, Jewish families here in America, that would go on to absolutely change everything in the government, in the media. Our struggle against the alien miscellaneous peoples is so interconnected, so epic, so vast, that I think a lot of people listening right now, perhaps, even forget about just how epic of an undertaking, how grand of a battle, of a struggle this is that we have in today's world. Absolutely astounding, the level, the epic scale of this undertaking we have. I need people to understand that truly, truly. This is the true resistance. This is the true resistance, revolution, white revolution. Absolutely. The only worry, the only topic that you have to worry about at all. And again, these kosher anti-Zionist, we gotta get the Muslims and the Christians aligning with each other because I don't even like to bring up the Bible. I don't even like to bring up silly Abrahamic faith. It's just such a distraction nowadays. So I'm going to try and not explain that, to talk about that anymore. You know, like I say, like my 14 words say, only debate to be had. What paint will the trains and boats be clad? The only debate there is to be had. There's no debate to be had. There's no arguing to be had. We know the problems. We know the solutions. Our ancestors definitely knew what to do. Okay. Yes. So, I would like now to go to my favorite story of the last week. And I'm so happy. At least Mike did mention it. I'm sure Dana and Kyle mentioned it. I'm pretty sure they did. But nevertheless, I'll mention it again. 10,000 Russian nationalists march in Moscow against non-white invasion. And apparently these happened all over the place. Let me read this right off of the New Observer. At least 10,000 Russian nationalists took to the streets of Moscow yesterday to participate in the Russian march in that city. Marchers ranged in age from young children to elderly men and women. According to the reports, they chanted Russia for Russians, Moscow for Muscovites, and about 80 participants were detained at one of the marches in the Moscow neighborhood of Lyublino. Oh yes, righteous Putin, the great white hero Putin, arresting righteous patriots. Yes. Yeah, Putin's your friend, guys. Yep. Continues, the banners and placards blame non-white invaders for pushing up the crime rates and undermining the Russian economy. Quote, why are the foreigners in our cities? This is our home, end quote, said a young woman on the march who identified herself only as Nadezhda. Sorry about that. Another man with a young child on his shoulder said simply, quote, we are all Russians here. Kids have nothing to be afraid of, end quote. Beautiful. The demonstration took place in the same region on the city's outskirts that saw riots break out 3 weeks ago over a deadly stabbing blamed on a non-white from Azerbaijan. Then a crowd of thousands attacked Central Asian stallholders and other obvious non-whites in the city, provoking a major clash with the police. A UN report in September said Russia has about 11 million migrants. 11 million migrants. UN reports said Russia has about 11 million migrants. Russia is a visa-free is visa-free for all Central Asian republics, so most of the migrant workers are in Russia legally. Hmm. Just like in this country. Oh, they're legal because, oh, the good pope or the papacy says that they have sanctuary in Texas. These poor Aztec migrants have sanctuary. So they don't have, if they're not, they don't already have amnesty or handouts given to them from the government. They have spiritual and cultural backing by the disgusting Roman Catholic Church in this country. And in Russia, it's even more legal because it's visa-free. So, again, on today's broadcast, I'd just like to bring to your attention the differences between the Russian resistance and the American resistance and the similarities, the problems that they all deal with. And that's a central goal of my broadcast in general, to bring white unity and help you understand that the problems, the similar problems that all white countries face, are almost incalculable, almost innumerous. It would take days and days and days to go over them in detail. Just need to understand that we are all in this together. We are all in a global minority. That's why you should never, again, let the kosher anti-Zionists tell you that a white person in America should say and should let native-born African-American families and the native-born Aztecs in New Mexico tell you what to do. Oh, they have more of a right to be here than you because you're white and you're only here because of immigrants from the 19th century. Well, that's not true for all Americans, for many white Americans. So, and this is a white country. This is not an Aztec country. This is not a black country. This is a white country, United States. I refuse to believe that this is a place where everyone can be who they want and never assimilate. And, well, that's fine. But this is a white country. It's founded for white people, by white people, using white politics and white culture and white language. Okay? Anyone wants to call in and debate that? Any kosher anti-Zionist retards want to call in and dare argue with me on that? I implore you. I really beg of thee to come on, because no one really has yet. No one's really commented in the comment section about that. I've gotten some really nice comments, and I appreciate all the comments I've gotten so far on the RenegadeBroadcasting.com site for my broadcast. But no one has called in to really try to argue that, because they really have no argument. This is absolutely disgusting. Most well-behaved people all just happen to be the same race that the country was built for the first place. And again, that article, you can go to the New Observer, 10,000 Russian Nationalists March in Moscow. Beautiful, beautiful story. I love to hear about that stuff. Russia has elided my interest for a long time. Back in my the dark, self-hating German era of my life, I looked to Russia for inspiration, for historical interests, and at the least, I was sad to find out I wasn't a shred of Russian, didn't have a shred of Russian blood, as I saw those people as so mighty, so great. And this was in middle school, and I also thought the Soviet Union was great, but that's another story. I won't get into that today, but Russia, absolutely astounding shows of power, which is what the white race is all about, power. And what's even better is the ridiculous amount of numbers they had, the amazing amount of patriots that were on the streets in their countries railing against the actions of their government. And Putin's one of those people. It's like, oh, you must come in here, you must assimilate. I am Putin. You must assimilate, but you must be Russian. Here's your free visa. Right? Now, I'd like to lump in with the Eastern Tower, the Russian Tower, the rest of the Eastern European countries like Belarus, Poland, Ukraine, these humongous countries. Hungary, perhaps as well, Slovakia, the Baltic states. These are very, very, in relation to the rest of Europe and the other white countries, very white in demographics. Very white in their political ambitions. Why? Well, we'll get into that right now. Why are they so white? Why are they so reactionary and scary racist and very nationalistic and very patriotic? Why? Well, not only do they have the sort of freedom to do so, but they have had a historical journey different from Germany, different from France. They were under the yoke of the Red Terror while the rest of Europe was shipping in more and more immigrants, shipping in more and more American music and whatnot. The East also, besides the religion, you know, besides all the Christian piety, that's irrelevant to me, because they're what they see as Christian values and resisting the Jew, you know, that's just typical of the Eastern peoples. Wholesomeness, protecting their communities, typical Easterners, typical, beautiful, love it. Now, Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Poland, these places are capable of these sort of moments of resistance because they didn't have the sort of immigration policies that France, say, had in the 60s and 70s. They didn't have that. So their ethnicity was kept arguably more pure in a way, and they were able to craft an existence which is today's Eastern Europe. An Eastern Europe that wishes to fight against Western multiculturalism, which they loathe so much. They scoff at the multiculturalism of Sweden, of Denmark, of the Netherlands, of France, of Germany. They scoff at it. They loathe it. They don't want it anywhere near their countries, and good on them. Good on them. Very good on them. And that is why I lump the rest of Eastern Europe in with the giant behemoth, the giant bear that is Russia. Mighty, mighty Russia. The Russian Federation has the military capability of dismantling the disgusting affront to our race that is the European Union. So what I foresee in the future, preferably, simultaneous revolution in the Russian Federation to build a Russian nationalist state and in the United States to create a white country. Yet again, sort out, refound this country. New founding fathers, old ways of doing things. Both of those countries have their revolutions, and look at the EU and despair and loathe it and attack it and destroy it for their kinsmen in those countries who are now held hostage by all the miscellaneous riffraff. All the little monsters running around telling the natives what to do, telling them that they're evil, that they got to go into multicultural mode. I mean, what an insult. I mean, how pathetic. And how pathetic of Russians and Englishmen to side with the disgusting and clearly Jewish worldview of multiculturalism. It's absolutely infuriating that I have to see these people just run around and applaud the noble Jew that has enlightened them finally to the great wonders of a multiracial society. You know, and the only people do that are these well-adjusted people who don't grow up around Muslims, who don't grow up around blacks in their neighborhoods. But Britain, that's almost an impossibility now, in England especially southern metro London area England. Impossible. Even in the aforementioned Manchester, UK. And if we can't get any Englishmen to call in the chat room to confirm these things, I don't want me to be the mouthpiece of European plight, European struggle. I do want to see people from Europe voicing their opinions, but then again, it falls upon us in the new world to be the mouthpieces for the resistance, and I am elated by my position. I am elated by this quest of mine. We're going to go over the two towers yet again, the dichotomy, the differences, the problems we face in our two mighty countries, our two mighty groups of people, white Americans and the Russians in the Russian Federation. We'll be going over that in a little more detail. I'll give some comments on the newest addition to the Roadshow, the rough cut of the second part of the documentary. But first, we have some Russian resistance music, starting with the 14 words read by a little Russian kid. Let's see if we can find that here in the studio. Apologize here, folks. Let's see. Here we are. This is a song by Kolovrat, Rockforged Boots. Be back in about 6 minutes. This is Ragnarok Now on Renegade Broadcasting.
Мы должны защищать существование нашей расы ради будущего белых детей. We'll be right back.
All right. Pravit. We're back. You know, and people, and you know, quote unquote people, these dirty Robbie Legend leftists like to complain about Russians are like not like very nice to the homosexuals and to the rappers. Okay, like they gotta accept them for who they are.
Russians need to go to Brown Temple University and find out about diversity.
Yeah, the people who had to deal with Mongol monsters and Muslim monsters and Jewish communist monsters, they have to, they gotta accept people for who they are. And they gotta accept all the visa-bearing migrants walking into their country and working in their country and not assimilating to being Russians. And yeah, they gotta accept them. And they can't be nationalists. They can't be hateful at all, because that's not right. Yep, we gotta attack the Russian, evil Russian people who are so intolerant. Oh, those poor migrants and Muslims in Russia, and homosexuals, oh my god. I say let the Russians do what they want. Each nation in Europe deserves to do what they want with not just the non-Italians, not just with the non-Russians in their respective countries, but with their own populace, what they see fit. And, you know, this harkens back to one of my criticisms of my comrades who wish to, you know, discuss who's white and who's not in the white countries that they've never been to or have no knowledge of. Oh, these Europeans aren't actually white. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Let them handle that. Let the Italians worry about the Calabrians and the Sicilians, okay? All right? Okay. Just worry about what's going on in Cincinnati and Minneapolis, and Detroit, and Los Angeles, and San Diego, and Boston, and New York, and Portland, and Seattle, and Houston, and Dallas, Jacksonville, Savannah, Atlanta, Nashville. Worry about those places, these giant metro areas that all used to be all white. No, we gotta worry about how white the Calabrians are, and the Puglians, and the Campanians. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is such a distraction. This is such an insult. I'm really sick of people. You know, I'm just going to ban people in the chat room who bother with that type of stuff. Americans, no doubt. Americans think that they're the racial experts. I've gone over this, I think, on my October 4th broadcast. I am so sick of this. So sick of this. If you think Sicilians are Negroids, as you say, I implore you to go visit sunny Sicily and run around Palermo and talk about all the Negroids that are there, that are native there. Yep, all of them are Negroids, guys. Yep. Go there, be the correspondent for Renegade Broadcasting. Go over there and get your self killed by the natives there, who won't tolerate that for one second. And I don't believe the young Italians in my generation, the nationalist Italians, are really even have that as one of their goals. They don't run around Italy saying, we must sort out the evil Sicilians and, you know, sort out our ethnicity. No, they have bigger problems to deal with. And here we have American nationalists think that they're racial experts and can say what they want about European ethnicities. The only people who have a right to say anything like that are the people belonging those respective ethnicities, period. Unbelievable. That I'm digressing here from what I wanted to talk about. Okay, so I wanted to talk about the guest races in the United States and their behavior. Now, I used that phrase in the documentary, The Lounging Racialist, portion. And at that point, I was trying to explain my stance from my schooling, which, you know, I think next week I'll have a whole show on my experience with the educational system here in America alone. And, well, just how destructive it really is, and destructive spiritually and in every single possible way. Oh, I'm just hateful. Oh, I'm just cynical. Which is what other people would say. I don't think so. I know I'm hateful, but I don't think I'm too cynical. I don't think I'm really exaggerating at all. What I wanted to explain to you what I meant on that, in that little talk there. I was trying to say I could have went into education, became a teacher, and if I chose to stay here in wonderful New York State, I could have gotten a great job working in the city, educating Groids and Aztecs and all sorts of other wonderful miscellaneous creatures, educating them in the white educational system in the white-named school in the named city of New York, former New Amsterdam, or Queens, or Bronx, or Brooklyn, or whatever. Yeah, I could have got a job doing that. I could have got a job. Oh, Harlem too. The thing, the ding says in the chat room, Harlem. Yeah, Harlem is another one. Wow, what an insult here in Suffolk County, New York. English named county where I live, densely populated. I could have worked here as well, for all the retarded Italian American kids and the Jewish American kid. I could have been their teacher. I could have also went into marketing, which I think I'm very good at. Very good at picking apart what these TV commercials are trying to say, what their programming is. I could have been a part of that programming. Gladly. Oh, and much to my economic benefit, but let me have you, sweet, lovely audience know, and horrible enemies that I know are listening to, I'd rather be a corpse than ever go on in the educational system trying to get a job like that. I'd rather be a corpse than be some lackey, some educational cultural lackey of yours in some studio as a recording artist. Or a teacher. And your disgusting excuse for educational facilities. Which have been usurped. Haven't been created in the sole purpose, but have been usurped over the decades to be just that. To be Marxist indoctrination centers. Each and every school I lump in with that respect. Almost, the public ones, at least, here in this country. Are just that, Marxist indoctrination centers. Marxist indoctrination centers, wow, that sounds trustworthy. These teachers are trustworthy. These marketers are trustworthy. So again, I had no inkling to enter that world, even if it meant bags and bags of Jewish money for myself, because I'm someone who cares more about the collective, cares more about the race than I do about myself, I have to say, in earnest. Okay? Through your heads. Get that through your heads. And I wish the very same for the young men in my generation as well. Although, if you are entering such a world and are under deep cover as a lone wolf, I implore you to keep going and do what you can. And I don't disparage you or look down upon you in any way, so long as you won't be a part of throwing me under the bus. Or anyone else, any other white patriot for that matter. If you're a shadow patriot, a lone wolf within the educational system and the marketing world, I wish you luck on your quest to cull the Jewish pest away from these systems. But for now, I just want everyone to know that I could have been a part of that world, but instead I chose to be with you, doing this for free. Okay? And let me now say something. I work in the aforementioned department store and get to see all the lovely miscellaneous anthropoids running around. And let me be honest, too. Back in my Robbie Legend days, the days in which I welcomed diversity and was so happy to see diversity, you know how I react when I see a large Aztec family or a large black family who may or may not be well-behaved? That's irrelevant. You know how I react? I react with seething anger. I grit my teeth. I clench my fist. And I become angered. Why? Why? Why would I become angry if just by the visage of a miscellaneous family? Why would I become so inflamed with anger? Why? Maybe it's because I see before me my future, the future of my country. And what do the parent generation see?
Oh, what a lovely family. I'm sure they're so close with each other, and they're so traditional. They have their own tradition. You didn't even speak Spanish, or who cares if they speak Spanish?
These idiots. These weaklings older than us who have tolerated such for decades before I was even born, before you and I were even born, young, lovely people, lovely white people listening to this broadcast. Before we were even born, they were tolerated in this country. And were helped along by the Jewish Cultural Creation Unit. M record deals and giving them incentives to come to this country. The great patriotic Republican Party, Ronald Reagan, and the like, bringing in these people just to you know, muddy up the future of their posterity. Yep. Great, great white patriots from the Republican Party. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me say one more time. My reception towards just seeing non-white families, not because, oh, God, I got to tell you, a lot of them are really, really nasty, really rude. And they speak this pidgin Spanish or pidgin French. Sometimes they're Haitians. By the gods, think of anything more deplorable than a Haitian family, good, living in this country, disgusting. Most ill-behaved, most rude people on the planet. No one likes the Haitian. No one. No one. Except for bleeding heart, retarded liberals. Really, the only people on the planet who have any time, patience for these people. Okay? My reception towards just seeing them is one of anger. Because I see my future. I see the future of this country. Because I'm someone who's more concerned about the giant collective, the giant minority throughout the world, throughout this country, this massive, massive New York State, this massive Northeast area of the United States, this massive country, this corporation known as the United States of America. Because we're all immigrants in America. We're all immigrants in the Russian Federation. I mean, the liberals really are trying to get Western Jewish values pushed in Russia. I mean, how pathetic of a quest is that? And they know it's not working. They know it wasn't ever really going to work in Russia because of the things I've mentioned before, the communism, the hundreds and hundreds of years of Mongol oppression and attacks and Muslim attacks and British meddling in their foreign affairs and their czarist affairs, trying to kill their czars, funding the revolution, revolutionary actions of Russia. The Jews in Russia are robbing banks and murdering people to get power. Oh yeah, you can read all about that. The wonderful humanitarian communist Jews. Before before World War I even happened. These communists in Moscow, St. Petersburg, blowing up places and robbing banks and killing people to get their way, to fund their revolution. And, yeah. They gotta be
integrated into multiculturalism.
They know it's not going to work. The Jews are smart. They know it's not going to work, but they could keep bleeding the country dry from the inside out with their little cartels and their sex slave rings operating in that country, in the Ukraine, in Belarus, I'm sure, too, Poland. Oh, but we got to be quiet about those things. We got to be quiet about the Muslims. We got to be quiet about the Jews. Kidnapping our kinswomen for their dark, evil, evil ends. And Brian says, better dead than red. And the Ding says, besser tot als rot. Couldn't have said it better myself. Let's go again to some more Russian nationalist music, and I'm still awaiting some calls here. Again, the number to call in, open phone lines for the rest of this hour I have here on today's show, 347-633-9657, 347-633-9657. This is the place for young men and women throughout the white world to voice their opposition against the cultural nightmare, against the racial nightmare that is today's white world. And the opposite is imminent. The revolution is imminent. I am in high spirits of that. I don't have any doubt in my mind that we will have our countries back. We'll take a few good men and women to do so. So, if you'd like to call in, you are more than welcome. Please join the chat room as well at renegadebroadcasting.com. This is Ragnarok Now on Renegade Broadcasting. And we're back yet again. Let's see here. Now let's talk about the United States. You know, before I get to that, we had someone, in Jew driver, in the chat room say Polish are very, Russian nationalists aren't white nationalists, and that Poland is in a horrible state. The mud sharks are rampant there. The Pakis running rampant. Unopposed in Poland. I'm still not surprised by that. I don't hold that Poland is this glorious white homeland or something like that. But to say all Russian, I don't think he was saying this, or he or she was saying that Russian nationalists are totally disconnected and totally uncaring about the rest of the white world. I refuse to believe that. That is nonsense. They have solidarity with the rest of the nationalist movements, Europe-wide, worldwide. They're not stupid. If they were, they would be stupid. And it's not that I would consider them not comrades, just ignorant. They don't understand that the rest of the white world is in dire straits right now. The smart ones, the real comrades, understand that. There needs to be, of course, and I agree with that, though, if that is the case, there needs to be more unity, there needs to be more of a dialogue between all these disparate groups. The Russian group is a whole other group just by language alone, and the, what I mentioned before, the bulwark that they have sort of in Eastern Europe, the Eastern European countries. Ukrainians and Russians all speaking Russian. English nationalists, Canadian nationalists, Australian, United States nationalists speaking English. So there's an Anglosphere and a Russian sphere that is cut off from each other because they don't, here in America especially, we don't learn Russian. You know, we're not able to communicate easily with these people. I'm not. I wish I was. So if we had a dialogue between more nationalists everywhere, that would lead to more progress, certainly. And more of an understanding between our peoples. They want to stay among their own. They want to stay with Russians. I'm not looking to go to Russia and have some Russian wife. And I'm sure they wouldn't like that. I know they wouldn't like that. And that's fine. I accept that. It's fine. I just want those Russian girls to be safe and secure from the evil that is thrust upon them by the government there, by the NGOs everywhere, by the bankers operating in all our countries. Jew money flowing freely through all the countries. Really, really, really ridiculous state of affairs that we're all in. The really ridiculous that I even have to get on the radio and even talk about these things. They haven't been solved yet. It could have been solved a long time ago, really easily. Really ridiculous. Now let's go on to the races here in America. We have so many. Biggest groups. The biggest threat, that is the Tex. Well, I like to call Tex the T-E-X, after Tejas, their little homeland, Neo-Mexico. The Rio Grande, man. If you look at the Hispanic population, there's a map of that. The big areas, of course, are the Southwest. But now growing more and more in the South, the old Confederate South, and the New York metro area, as well as parts of New England. Okay? So those areas cannot be ignored, just as the epicenters of Aztlan, Mang, of Aztec resistance, the evil Anglos, Mang. Because these idiots, these miscellaneous creatures, they see us all as Anglos, Okay, that's just kind of synonymous with them for white, even though a lot of Americans aren't even English. They're just speaking. They speak American English, therefore they're Anglos, gringos. They have no respect for you. They have no respect for your family. They have no respect for your property, a lot of them. I'm supposed to just be happy that the illegal immigrants are coming in. If I'm not, you know, if I'm conservative, I have to be angry about that. But then I go to church and I've got to be, oh, they're all the same soul. They're all Jesus' sons. And if I don't do that, I can just have some sort of kosher stance towards the invasion. Or as it's phrased, illegal aliens, or, I mean, all these little phrases they give you to use that's a little more comfortable, a little more PC to say than invasion, which is clearly an invasion. We're being invaded. Let me repeat that. We're being invaded by Mexicans in this country. Have been for a long, long, long time before I was around. Okay? And, what are we going to do about it? Oh, Bush built a wall. He was a strong leader. Built that big wall. I remember that happening. And the left made a big joke about it. And, again, me as the young white man, here is exactly what all 90s white males are supposed to behave like, okay? I'm gonna be the model white male born in the 90s. Ready? Oh my God, like I read in a book, like I'm born in the 90s and I'm not racist at all. Oh my God, I'm not racist. I'm not racist. I was born in the 90s, man. I'm not racist. I don't like, I like everybody. Here's a conservative one. Well, I'm not too partial towards the Groid or the Aztec, but, you know, Jesus said that we're all God's children. Yahweh's children, we're all the same. That's why I think the Pope, he's doing a stand-up job bringing these people in. Great job, Pope. All right, 90s men, 90s white men born anywhere. St. Petersburg, Malta, Venezia, Marseille, Orléans, Winchester, Argyle, Dublin, Barcelona, Krakow, Vilnius, anywhere else in the white world, they're supposed to be, if they want to get a job, they want to get a nice corporate job, they got to be so loving and so quiet, hush-hush about the real opinions about the MUDs, okay? Maybe in Lithuania, Estonia, that would be okay, but not in America. Oh, you don't want to be called a racist, be put on a list. I mean, if you want to do that, it probably won't be put on a list because I haven't yet. I'm still waiting. Still haven't been put on that list that Mike was talking about yesterday. Jew Driver says, Mexicans are great. They will kill all the Nigers and Boomers. Hey, maybe that will happen, but, they'll have their own little enclaves. And is that what all those cavalrymen died fighting out west? Is that what all those settlers died, suffered, to have founded? To help found Marin County, to help found the state of Washington and Montana, et cetera, so that a bunch of malice-hearted migrants from Mexico can come in and do as they please and take all the money from the government that, of course, the tax-paying white people basically give them because they tolerate the government that does so. Yeah, we're supposed to be so nice to them. We're supposed to... I'm getting to the point where I don't even have anything else to say. I mean, let's see, checklist. Groids, Mexicans, and Jews. Yeah, it looks like I've hit all those. Yeah. Well, let's explore Russia again one more. Oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe we can go back to that. If anyone else has anything to say about that, put that in the chat or call in. Talk about Russia some more. Because, you know, I'm kind of in the dark here because I really would only trust people like I've talked to from Canada or America or somewhere else talking about their native countries. I can't. I haven't really had that opportunity with Russia. We're Russian nationalists with awakened Russian patriots. So if I get some Russian patriots on the line, talk to me through email, I would very much appreciate it because I'd like to prepare a serious show talking about Russia. Let's talk about the blacks in the United States. Well, listen to Mike's show yesterday. It was pretty ridiculous, all the news stories he had there. I'm not going to go over them here today. He did a great enough job. Please check out his show yesterday. And, of course, all the other shows. Always stellar work from everyone here at Renegade Broadcasting. So if you're interested in some ridiculous news stories concerning the Groid Americans, check out Mike's show yesterday on Reconstructions Live. Now, as far as they go, culturally speaking, demographically speaking, it's really inexcusable that we can tolerate them whining about white supremacy and the white man getting them down, man, when they are mayors, when they are police chiefs, when they are cultural head honchos complaining about the system and how it's getting them down. Unbelievable. And I'm talking about the secular people. I'm not really concerned about Pastor Manning category type of blacks. I'm not worried one bit about them. Not one bit. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. Anyway, the blacks in this country, you know, I am in the belief that they are more apt, and I'm not really concerned about this, they're more apt to respect a white man who is truly a white man and not some groid groveler. Yes, the groid grovelers, which is a phrase that I coined on my last show, one of my last shows. Yes, the groid grovelers that say, you know, talk about all the great things about blacks and, you know, how they can really help us, help the white revolution. All they really have to do is get out of the way. That's really it. And but the blacks, you know, they'll go on and complain about the white man, how they've stolen their history or whatever, and will never mention the fact that they're speaking English, never mention the fact that they're wearing Western clothing, never mention the fact that this country let them in the first place and tolerated their existence rather than shipping them out, which they could have in Lincoln's era, as far into our American history as the Lincoln era was. That's another thing you need to understand listening if you haven't already. Americans, and this goes into my next topic, Americans have a heritage. It's not like we are historyless. Don't let any other white people tell you that, because any white people who say that are not our comrades. They really don't understand this country at all. We have history in this country. We have heritage, especially those listening who have old families. We have heritage here in this country, and don't let anyone else take that away from you. We have a heritage here. We have an Odell, a white Odell. Yeah, be it Christian from the inception in some cases. But even despite that, who were the people colonizing? Who were the people bracing the elements, the dangerous elements that is the Rocky Mountain area, the deserts of the West? Who were the people bracing those geographical areas? Were they Groids? Were they Mexicans? Who built all those towns? Whites. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Believe it. So that one fact alone is enough to grant us with a heritage to be happy about. Americans have heritage, especially now moving on to the Confederate Odal, the Southern Americans. who are really awakened. I mean, especially in areas that are extremely black, extremely Mexican, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Virginia, the Carolinas. These people know what's going on, but, you know, a lot of them are still Christianized. And that's not to really, I don't want to say it's not to worry about, but, you know, it really boils down to accepting the beast as it is right now, the federal government that really, really has not cared about them for a long time, is totally ensconced in Hollywood cultural BS, of course, especially with Obama. The Southern people don't respect Hollywood at all. They don't think George Wallace was an evil man. Okay? These are great things. But then they have their own things to persevere through, to hurdle over. Has said something in the chat right now. This is very true. Regardless of what some of them may claim, most minorities living in our countries, do not even acknowledge that we have a culture of our own. And that is so true. You know, young Englishmen my age are, say, take an English wigger, right? They have this beautiful, majestic, mighty history of the English people who really conquered this earth. It was them who conquered South Africa, Australia, America, okay? English people. Or you could just lump in British people, Irish, Scottish, soldiers fighting the natives, carving out a land for their posterity. Beautiful, great. But, again, we have these English wiggers who aren't aware or are aware of this stuff from school. All in school. English people. They were so evil. That's what I'm talking about, mate. To killing all these blacks, all these Indians. Bloody sick of that. I'm bloody sick of the English legacy. So we got to become more multicultural, like in London. I mean, how pathetic is that? I mean, really. And insert any other ethnicity. Greek wiggers and Italian wiggers, French wiggers. I mean, that's a serious problem in of itself. And because that is one of those groups, one of many groups, I would lump in the Truth of Movement with that, you know, Alex Jones, ites, all over the white world. You know, faux patriots, these libertards, who apparently cover Netherlands. Apparently that's big in the Netherlands, that libertarian stuff. And that's just an insult to their ancestors. I don't have to say that, but, you know, put that across. That's so true. We have to recognize that we have so many of these people in the Truth Movement, the Wiggers, that don't acknowledge their own people's histories. And in doing so, totally ignore the other races in their countries that are occupying and invading their countries. And turning certain areas into Sharia law areas, like in Sweden, like in France. Okay? These are our kinsmen who don't do anything. We should set up de-wiggerization camps, Gur Scott. Wow, that is a great idea, Gur Scott. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, and that's a post-victory mind meandering, I must say. It's a great idea, but that won't be set up until the post-victory time period. We have about a half hour here in the broadcast, and we have a caller, the 414 we'll go to now. 414, you are on the air live.
Hi, Sig, it's Bill.
Bill, good to have you.
Yeah, I didn't call on this point, but while I was listening, you mentioned about black people do not respect the individuals that, I don't know, buy into the standard line that they get from the mainstream, the white guilt types.
Right.
And in my experience, that's exactly true. Now, I've been around them, you know, I mean, I'm not so much now, but a lot of times, even when I was in sales, I kind of concentrated on them. Nobody else wanted to deal with them, but I did very well with them. I grew up in an area that turned dark. I've lived in pretty dark areas, even as an adult for periods. And, yeah, I've noticed that this might surprise you, but generally not, you probably know that I kind of despise that race as a whole, okay? There's individuals, but I don't take it to the extent, like a lot of people do, of underestimating them, all right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will do that. But in my personal one-on-one or even with several of them experiences, it's not like I generally have a lot of trouble with them. I mean, I don't usually get a lot of crap from them. Because I'm not the type like some white people. They notice that, that looks down, that's afraid to look at them. I don't take any shit, and they notice that. They don't respect these ones that are kissing their ass. They, they'll use them. They look at them as prey.
Right, of course.
But,
I'm not surprised by that one bit, yeah.
Yeah. But here's what, you might not agree with this, but this is, I don't have a doubt on this, but when white people are assisting, okay, in the destruction of their people, let's say in indoctrinating our kids as a teacher with suicidal message, or working in the media like you mentioned where you wouldn't take these positions, or you said marketing, or
right.
You know, whatever it may be, when they're doing that or assisting in the non-white invasion, whatever it may be, they're not only betraying, okay, the white race, you know, and working against the interest of the whole, the group,
yes.
You know, they're also working against their own interests, if they're wise.
Yeah.
And they're, okay, if they're seeing big picture, long term, they just don't get that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But those
and
that are what? Go ahead.
Okay, that's a great, great point, and I fail to really speak to that. That is so true because, you know, they'll fail to see it, and it's part of that sort of American glorious capitalist dream that, you know, you can work for yourself and your own family and only you matter. And, you know, only, you know, and that's what the, that's why this libertarian insanity has been injected towards us in, on the internet, you know, through the politics now with, you know, Ron Paul and everything. You got to care about yourself. You got to, you know, be disconnected from not just reality, of course, but the race. You have to be disconnected from them. And that is this, that is such dangerous programming, such a dangerous worldview, and that is really the essence of it. I mean, to you know, just worry about your own pocket, and I mean that
well,
is, I mean, that is fine, but I mean, just selling out your race and working against it and everything.
Right.
It's just,
well, you're
it's
not quite getting me here. See, this is where most people don't. What I mean is, they don't get this, and I understand what you're saying. That's the message pushed by the Jewish media: is self-interest, work for yourself. But they're twisting it. If these individuals were actually looking out for themselves, because even
yes,
in, a lot of people confuse this with might and right too. It explains in there what self is, and it explains that self. And I, you know, people say, why do you keep bringing up might is right? Well, I like the book a lot, but it explains what self is. Even when you talk about rugged individualism, and some within the movement will think, well, that's just a Jewish thing. No, that's what our people had in the past, that they went out on land. It means you're creative enough to take care of you and yours. That doesn't mean, that doesn't discount that the settlers, you know, that were able to survive off the land, you know, who didn't unite with neighbors for group protection against Indians, or that they didn't trade with each other, barter with each other, that they didn't go into town for supplies. So what I'm getting at is I think people should look out for their self-interest, but if they're wise enough, they would had a little bit of foresight, they would understand that their interest, and even you, the reasons you said, if I pay attention to people's words, as you said that you didn't do those things, you kept saying I, me, mine, as reasons why you wouldn't, my children, my this. If you actually look out for your self-interest, then it's not a good idea to portray, I mean, to, you know, betray your group, your race, you know. At the same time, you're looking, now there's nuance to this and there's exceptions, but in general, when you look out for the interest of yourself, you're looking out for the interest of the group. When you're protecting, you know, when you're looking out for, you know, and it's reversed, too, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you're part of the group. So if you don't watch out for the group, you're not watching out for yourself. And if you don't watch out for yourself, each member of the group, then the group as a whole is weak, right? And people will say that and ridicule in there about building wealth, and I know you mentioned that earlier, but we used to have clans, okay? And if our people, the ones that are awake, right, or even just generally our people, because we can awaken some of them, were to have done this like other peoples do, not just the Jews. When people come here, they get into certain industries, these non-whites, and they work together as families. They borrow each other money. They get themselves in business. They hire. If we had done that for the last decade, we used to in the past, in the 19th century. If we had done that, we would already have victory. There's nothing wrong with building wealth for yourself.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I'm just the type of personality that just has zero tolerance for that. I don't want to be lumped in with that, even if it does mean a wealth for myself and perhaps people, comrades around me. I don't have the tolerance for it. I just really can't. I don't. Sorry. But I do recognize that you are correct. You know, I knew what you were saying the whole time. It's just, you know, I have a hard time wording it, but very, very wise indeed. I do agree with what you said, absolutely. Because we did, you're precisely correct, we did have this set up, but it wasn't seen as like, we must have this set up in order for the race to survive. It was just how white people were. It's just how things were. And that is what's so sad, that we have to do what we did in the past, but frame it in a way that is for racial survival. And that, I mean, that's just me complaining, well, really. But
it depended on where. Let's say if you looked at the 19th century,
sure.
It depended on where you live. Now, if you were in the east, you know, that would be different. But if you were in the Midwest and out in the West, Northwest, Southwest, there was a racial. You know, because of the Indian situation, there was a heightened racial awareness because there was the idea that if you look like me, you're okay. I mean, there were situations where people would guard an area that was a main drag into a settlement, and that's what they basically looked at. Okay, he's white. Come on through. There was a racial awareness during those periods, but I do get what you're saying in general. Especially in the East, people didn't have to think like that because, and I guess in Europe too, other than during periods when there was invasions from the East, from the South, they didn't have to think in racial terms, and people don't in the suburbs because, hey, everybody around me is white.
That's something I'd like to explore now with you on the line here, because that's precisely how I grew up. You know, I grew up in these, unlike Dana, who right across the Long Island Sound in beautiful Connecticut, beautiful former white Connecticut, had to grow up among all these assorted miscellaneous peoples and, you know, had a vastly, vastly different education childhood than I did, because I grew up around these snobby, rich, retarded, quite frankly, Italian-American kids and all other sorts of whites. And Jews, of course, in my school, and didn't have to deal with other races. I just had to deal with whites acting like groids. That's really what I had to deal with. And then I go to college, and it was, a little bit more of a wake-up call because it was a little bit more surrounded by techs and groids. But, this well-adjusted, sheltered existence that the suburban white has been handed to them by the powers that be, because that is what they wanted. I need to get this point across in each broadcast I do, that my homeland, Long Island, New York, is something they don't want destroyed at all. That's why I honestly believe that they are afraid of me saying anything about it. Let me repeat that. I'm from Long Island, and I am very racist, okay? And, I mean, what do you think is going to happen when you have young white men born in the 90s in a densely, densely, densely populated little tiny sliver of land, surrounded by non-whites, by Italian-Americans who are some of the most, quote-unquote, racialized ethnic groups in the country, in the country's history, when you look at the last 50 years. I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to tell the audience that. The Irish-American, a lot of Irish people on Long Island. They don't want this little suburban dream destroyed. That is the thing that they're trying to salvage with the ridiculous actions that they're taking in this. And what I mentioned before, Bill, if I can get your take on this, the kosher anti-Zionist movement that I'm probably sure you have experienced on the internet alone. These people, these deracinated anti-Zionist people. I mean, what do you have to say about those people who just kind of They ridicule Jewish actions. They ridicule Zionism and American imperialism or whatever. But you know, it's deracing. It's a deracing message, and they'll call us Jew thinkers or supremacists or something like that. What do you have to say about those kosher anti-Zionist people?
Well, it's like, I guess I learned that from you guys. You guys refer to them as gatekeepers, right? Because
right.
They know there's certain things that people are picking up on, so they want to make sure that they can direct that knowledge so that they don't really get to the core of the issue. Like, I can't remember who said that, but there's some people that hack at the branches and the leaves, and then there's those who go for the root. And but I don't have so I understand what you're saying, and yeah, that irritates the hell out of me too, but I don't have as much of a problem with it as some people do, because we can still once people start standing Zionism, at least that's a foot in the door. Because,
right.
You know, I understand there's whether they might be whites. I mean, you look at the conservatives
right.
that aren't Jews, and they're big Zionists. But in any case, you know, what is it about? Israel, what's there? Jews. So, I don't mind it so much. Like, somebody like, what is he, Rams Paul? Okay.
Yeah.
And, now, he's like that. In fact, there's times mm-hmm. when he says he's not a nationalist, and he'll always say he's not a white nationalist. He's for nationalism
right.
for everyone. But he right. does reach a lot of people, and he's like a, you know, what people might refer to as a gateway drug. You know, so I don't
yeah,
have...
Yeah, you know, okay, I agree with that. It's just that when you do allow that type of stuff to go unfettered by our criticism, right?
Oh yeah, we got to criticize it. Yeah.
Oh right. Okay, that's fine. I'm not disparaging your speech here, but this is the dangerousness of it. When you allow that to go uninhibited, you allow for the Nazis are evil programming to swoop in and take their minds and spirits and tell them that United States were in the right in the 1940s when we went over there and killed the Nazis,
right.
who were truly the most evil people, and that works. It does work. I've seen it work. I've seen it work among my would-be comrades here among me on this disgusting little sliver of land called Long Island. I have met those people, a lot of libertarian people, and they get hit by that cancer, that historical narrative cancer that has been the base of the programming, the Jewish programming in this country and throughout the white world. So that is why I bemoan this stuff over and over again. That's why it seems like I'm on a rant here. That's why it seems like I'm never ceasing in my attack towards this. I mean, this is a serious thing to deal with. I mean, and they know what they're doing. The Jews know what they're doing when they create these little deracinated anti-Zionist cells.
Yeah.
In the internet resistance, really. I mean,
yeah,
I
understand you,
mm-hmm.
and like I say, you might be wiser on that topic than me. I'm starting to wonder. You know, I generally agree with that, and I've heard you attack that, and so do others, Sledge a lot, and everyone on the
mm-hmm.
network, and I generally agree, but I did state my that I'm not as hardcore on it, but after hearing you there, maybe I should be, you know, you're probably right there. But another thing, yeah, on that same vein, now you understand, and that's what these mantras are about. Like, I don't like the part where they talk of Europe, what do they say, Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, and white countries for everyone, because I've seen that on the YouTube videos where people could tear that apart so easily, because you're taking geographical Africa, Asia, and then you're not saying America for the, you know, you're using a term that describes race. Slang for Caucasoid is white, and so they'll tear that up and say, no, why are you doing that? You should have said, if you're talking about the United States, America for the Americans, which includes people of all different races, Europe
right.
for the European, you know. So that's why I think it's better to say, you know, Africa. There's plenty of country. Or you have to word this better, you know. There's vast areas of Asia for Mongoloids, vast areas of Africa for Negroids. There's no place for white people. But I understand why they do it that way. They're playing with perception. And in politics,
yes.
and when you deal with the herd, perception is reality. And that's why, back to the Zionism, they did that anti-racist Hitler. But I want to know what you think of that. Actually, that kind of – I understand this works well, and there's all sorts of ways you can get off on that video to teach people. But I don't like it because of it's playing on false perceptions of Hitler.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. It's sort of like a – it's you know how I view – I love that video. I'll personally say that right now. I love that. And
I do
I'm
too,
kinda,
but I,
and
that,
I'm kinda,
that's just that
I'm,
part of it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm you know, the only thing I'm upset about it is that I wasn't asked to voice one of the Jews on the
yeah, you do them
on
good.
The video. I'm just upset about that. But you know, the thing, I think it's a glorious piece of prop because it takes the insanity that is their worldview, that multiracial rainbow coalition, the children of the rainbow, the literal worldview that they have, you know, people should be race mixing and should be opening the floodgates and destroying their national sovereignty through immigration, through the culture, which anti-racist Hitler was doing with his music and all the ridiculous things he was doing in Israel. And it called them out on their hypocrisy, because that is what we're fighting, Bill. We're fighting insanity. We're fighting hypocrisy right now. We're fighting the very essence of evil, because evil will work with anything. Evil will work in any disgusting, dishonorable way, even if it means consciously holding up half-truths or outright lies as the purpose, as the base of their quote-unquote arguments. And we know they don't have any arguments. We know that blacks are slaying whites on the streets every day, even whites who don't even want anything to do with them. Like, it's one thing if they're race mixing or bringing them into their homes willingly, but it's another thing if they're in their home on their own time, alone, and not even dealing with the Groid population at all. They're sitting in their home alone or they're on the street alone, and they get just attacked because they're white, because it's a racialized crime, and everyone knows it. Every one of us knows that. But then you'll get to these Truth Movement people who just say, oh, it's because these Truth Movement people are still plagued by that insane left-wing line from, you know, something like Rage Against the Machine, where it's like, oh, man, it's because the black man is brought down economically, man. It's economic racism, yo. It's racism by the white supremacist system. You know, I was trying to get that BS out there in that Groid history video, because that is really the insane hypocritical line, the line that these deracinated any system people have today, which is such a threat and so diabolical that the Jews know what they're doing in keeping that insanity alive, because without it, they would have already been kicked out of this country, quite frankly. I mean, if it wasn't for that stuff, if it wasn't for also the kosher conservatives who love Israel and everything else, because these two groups are really what's holding us back from true revolution, who won't get out of our way, who won't recognize that we are the only legitimate revolution in the air right now. Absolutely. And just your quick comment, if you have any, Bill, and we got another caller.
All right, did you see the video, How White People Took Over America?
Oh, yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's another good. Just real quick, I wanted to say, how come you don't have the typical Long Island accent?
Oh, I really don't know. You know, it's an interesting thing you bring up. I talked to a professor one time. He thought I was from Oklahoma. And I was like, well, actually, I was just born. I grew up right down the street. I mean, it's strange. I don't even know how to answer that, quite frankly.
Well,
I grew up here. I grew up in North Shore, yeah. I mean,
because I met a lot of people in the military for one. And I just wanted to say one last thing. When you were, I thought that was so cool on the video. Were you playing the violin for the kids there and their list? But I was wondering, because I don't listen to Alex Jones that much. When you did your imitation, it sounded so cool, like some British guy. Were you doing somebody who's on Alex Jones?
Yeah. Oh. See, everybody. Bill is not aware of the Truth of Movement mythos that we've been.
Yeah,
because
I don't.
Destroying.
I don't watch a lot.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's fine. Yeah, yeah. You know, still probably today. There's an individual named Paul Joseph Watson, and he's like
Watson. All right, I gotta check.
Yeah, Watson. Yeah, Paul Joseph Watson. He's kind of this. He's kind of like the sidekick of Alex Jones. He's been around for a long time. Him and his brother, writing articles, hosting the show when he's not there. A guest on the show, talking about news articles on the show. He's got that niche. He's one of the Truth Movement talking heads, so to say. He's in that. In that Alex Jones camp, but he is English. He is actually from England. He's not from Tejas or some other shithole in America.
If we lived in a decent world, people like you And Mike Sledge, you know, you're so talented on that stuff. You guys would be the guys making the money in the media. Instead
exactly.
of these crap heads up there. All right, take care. I love listening to you guys. You guys are great.
Thanks, Bill. Same to you. Thanks for calling in. And all right, that was great. Bill Rise called in. Now we got 661 on the line. 661, you're on air live.
Hey, what's up? This is Brian.
Oh, hey, Brian. The Brian.
Yep,
from
the
Out
Brian.
Wow, good to have you on.
How you doing, man?
Okay.
Well, I don't got much battery left on my phone right now, so I was just kind of listening in too, but I just wanted to say you're doing a good show, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, thank you very much. And why don't I posit a question here? We had about 8 minutes left in the broadcast. Just answer this for me and the audience real quickly. What is the state of your area in this country? You don't have to say where it is. You don't have to say exactly where you grew up or anything or any names. Just tell us what the demographic state is and what the state of young white people like you and I are. Are they wiggers? Are they hippies? I mean, what's their deal?
Well, I guess it's trying to think the demographics around my area. I guess I would say it's at least 50 or 60% Latrino. And the young kids, you know, they're just like anyone else, I guess, you know. But for the most part, you know, they're wiggers. But I used to be one too, so I can't, you know, bash them for it because everyone used to be kind of stupid in their own way before. So, I guess I would say the majority of the youth, the white youth that I see, you know, they kind of dress like the niggers and the spics and all that, and they have the flat-brimmed hats, and, I mean, I see kids as young as, you know, 7 or 8, and they have, their parents are giving them mohawk haircuts, and they're already dressing like, you know, gangsters, so it's depressing, but, you know.
Yeah, comes to be expected, you know. It's just, that programming is set up for the feeble-minded whites, so we here at Ragnarok Now are not at all surprised, but not at all less disheartened by the state of our fellow young white men who, you know, if they're given Renegade Broadcasting at a national level, well, that would not exactly help their wigger lifestyle continue into the future. Now, would it, Brian?
No, it won't, you know, but I think the thing is a lot of them were born out here in California, so they're, which I wasn't. I'm not saying anyone who was born out here is bad, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
But you know, I think it's just, you know, from birth to early childhood, adolescence, you know, teenage years, it's all connected. It's following the pack of the other people, of what's cool to do at the time.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be skateboarding, and there used to be all kinds of different trends, and they come and go, but it seems the wigger thing has been going on quite too long.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I had that one article to go through here at someone. Or, you know what, I could keep you on the line. We're doing the streaming, apparently.
Well, it's cool. I kind of got to go anyway. Cell phone's dying. So.
Right. Okay, thanks for the call, Brian. I appreciate it. This is great to hear from you. Yeah. First time on Ragnarok Now. We got Brian here. Thank you, Brian.
All right, thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
All right, bye.
So, all right, it looks like we could do archive streaming. Kyle, if you can hear me, yeah, I would like to do that. We'll go for a little bit longer. I think I touched upon everything I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Norman Lowell. You know, that's a big topic in of itself. So I'll save that for perhaps next week. I just got this one article someone brought up in the chat room. I'd like to give them credit, but I forgot who brought it up. It's an article, in fact, from AmRen, American Renaissance. Derek Thompson from The Atlantic cited from there. The 33 whitest jobs in America. Whites account for about 81% of the workforce, but there are 33 occupations counted by the BLS, particularly those on farms around heavy machines and doctor's offices and in sea suits, where whites officially account for 9 in 10 of all workers or more. Here they are. And these are jobs that are required for a civilization to manage, and who better in a white country than white people to staff these jobs? Top percent, 96.5% veterinarians, 96.5% white. Farmers, ranchers, 95.8% white. Mining machine operators, 95.4% white. Speech-language pathologists, 94.5% white. Millwrights, 94.3% white. Chemical processing machine workers, 94.1% white. Cost estimators, 93.9% white. Sheet metal workers, 93.5% white. Aircraft pilots, 93% white. No surprise there at all. Small engine mechanics, 92.9% white. Medical transcriptionists, 92.7% white. Radio technicians, 92.6% white. Radio. Steel workers, 92.3% white. Miscellaneous agricultural workers, 92% white. And this one really doesn't surprise me. EMT / paramedics, 91.9% white. Wow. Construction supervisors, 91.8% white. Construction managers, 91.8% white. Chiropractors, 91.4% white. Architects, 91.3% white. Other installation / repairmen, 91.2% white. Cement masons, 91.2% white. Tool and die makers, 91.1% white. Carpenters, 90.9% white. Sales reps, like Bill Rise, 90.9% white. Auto body repair, 90.7% white. Painters, 90.7% white. Chief executives, 90.6% white. Environmental scientists, 90.5% white. Pest control workers, exterminators. The exterminators are 90.4% white. Groundskeeping workers, 90.4% white. Private detectives, 90.3% white. Directors, religious activities, 90.2% white. Now, it's lumping in all the preachers, but soon to be all the white shamans running around wolf country here in America. That's another, topic for another show at some point. And electricians, 90% white. Wow. All these tough jobs. Who takes the jobs? Is it the Aztecs? Is it the Koreans? Is it the noble Groid? No, it's the white man. And I wonder what this country would be like when all, let's say, the white race is genocided, or the white race collectively in America says, all right, you know what, we're going to go move on over to the Ukraine, everybody, let's go. Okay, say all the white people disappear, move from the United States. What do they do? What do the leftover miscellaneous peoples here do? Well, they don't have any millwrights or aircraft pilots. How is that civilization going to run? It's not going to run at all. Not one bit. I really don't have much else to say. We got the streaming here. We have no more calls. You know what? We're going to close it out here. With, I think, a very comforting thought, and maybe a very silly thought to many, if not all of you listening. I like to meditate on this thing alone, metro areas that are white. Yes, the white culture, the aspirations and hatred that whites have, country whites have towards the cities and the government and Hollywood, has been relegated to the country, but, you know, city culture has been taken over for decades and decades and decades by the Jew to make it more multicultural. Well, what if we had a city... what if we had a city culture, a metro culture here among whites, metropolitan culture, that... which held white homogeneity in its forefront, okay? So this is the type of thing I meditate upon on a daily basis, is all white metro areas. Now, this is ridiculous to think of, I know. That's because we're in the pre-Vic dark age right now, the pre-victory dark age right now, which is totally contrary to victory, totally contrary to the life of the race. Thus, it seems so ridiculous to think of an all-white New York, an all-white Philadelphia, an all-white Boston. These cities that used to be, I don't know, 99% white. That just a few generations ago were white cities, even in the 50s and 60s. I mean, the crime problems were nothing in RPO's or Dr. Willie Pierce's days. I mean, it's gotten so much worse than what they saw. Much, much worse. So, you know, that's something I like to meditate on a daily basis. It makes me feel great. Makes me feel like a white man. The music I had planned for today. But now I'm going to close out the show with a song titled Manhattan Rag. And just when you listen to it, why don't you join with me with a meditation in thinking of a all-white Manhattan, a totally unkosher Manhattan, the island that has been conquered by the Jew, which has been steered in a way diversify the United States to make multicultural the media in this country, is Manhattan. One of the epicenters of New Israel, of New Zion, which is basically the Northeast area, which is basically the New York metro area, which I grew up in, went to college in, know all too much about. So join me in that meditation in all-white New York. Why don't you please, please think about that. Think about that. Think about it as the Tom Metzger character in the movie Falling Down, which me and Mike will have a show on, or a portion of a show on. He talked about that as well yesterday. Please listen to all the broadcasts here at Renegade Broadcasting, all the fine, fine, mighty, patriotic hosts we have here, men and women, mind you. Stay tuned for the roundtable tomorrow and the one and only women's show, the Aryan Women Show, on Sunday. And up again, Blitzkrieg Broadcast on Mondays, the Wild Card on Tuesdays, Imperium Europa with Dana Antikas on Wednesdays, Reconstructions Live on Thursdays. Please stay tuned for all that fine broadcasting brought to you by the noble and patriotic comrades that I do have here. And thank you again, beautiful, beautiful comrades of my own, and disgusting, sorry excuses for creatures that are my enemies, of course, listening as well. Thank you all. Thank you all so very much. Ave Europa.
Ha 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 ha